Okay, so I'm putting everybody on lecture. So we have a good quality recording. Hi. So welcome everybody to our call on Goddess Kali, how to release fears and doubts and move into ecstasy with Goddess Kali. I'm Laura Cornell, and this is the second training call for our Thriving Yoga Teacher Program. And I'm really, really glad to be on this journey with all of you. I can feel the energy growing. We had a great group mentoring call on Monday. And the online forum is really hopping with participation, and a lot of you are starting to reply to each other and support each other. And I want to thank all of you and really acknowledge all of you who have been able to get into action on that online forum, because there's so much support to be had. And I will go over again how to get on that forum, because I know that some of you are still not quite sure about that. I really want to encourage those of you who are with me here right now to download the module, the guidebook that goes with what we're going to be doing today, okay? So for those of you who are still learning web lingo, this is called, it's an online forum. There's multiple forums. We use Ning. You can actually use this in your business. There's also Moodle. I like the Ning sites. So this is what is called a co-branded site, because it has two names at the top, two domain names. Thriving Yoga Teacher is our domain. That's the name of this program, and it was the name of the website that you learned about the program on. And Ning is the name of the forums. And I'm going to ask Liz to go very specifically describe how you can download the guidebook on a PC. Last week I described how to download it on a Mac. I really want you guys to get these guidebooks. They are so powerful, and there is such incredible, incredible material in them. I'm hearing a little fuzz on the line, so Liz, if you know if that's a problem, would you call me?
It might just be because I unmuted myself. It might be a little bit of static coming from my phone.
Okay, great. So I really want everyone to get the guidebook and to download it to their own computer, be able to print it if they choose, or read it on their laptop if they choose. Could you explain how to download the guidebook on a PC?
Well, on a PC, when you click on the link on the forum, it's going to open in a window in your browser, and then you're going to have to click File, Save Page As, and then you can name it and save it where you want to save it on your computer, and then you'll be able to access it directly from your computer.
Where do they find the button for File, Quick Save As? At the top on Safari?
It would be at the top, and it depends on which browser, where it would be on Firefox. It'll be in the upper left-hand corner. On Google Chrome, it'll be in the upper right-hand corner, but it will be along the top. It'll be where you would go to get options or settings or anything like that.
Okay. So on a Macintosh, thank you, Liz.
You're welcome.
On a Macintosh, you go to where it says Guidebook Module 2.pdf, and you right-click. When you right-click, an option comes up to save linked file as, and you can name it Guidebook 2 and save it on your computer in your file where you're keeping all of the downloads and the audios and the PDFs that go along with this class. It's really a great guidebook. If you just regular click it, which would be a left click, it'll open on the web. I prefer myself to download it as a PDF. Okay? And if this doesn't make sense, you can email Liz, L-I-Z, at divinefeminineyoga.com, or even better, post her a question on the forum. Okay, so while you're doing that, I just want to say what a powerful module this is, and why it's so important that we're here today with this module. Goddess Kali is the power that helps us to cut through our limiting beliefs. And these are the beliefs that hold us back in so many ways, very often unconscious ways. So we absolutely, absolutely need to pay attention to this, because there are so many fears and doubts that really are part of our human condition. Okay, so this is something that is part of being human, is part of our humanity, to have these fears and doubts. And for those of us on the spiritual path, we are constantly moving through to our courageous self, to our divine self, which is not saddled with these limiting beliefs and fears. However, we can't just ignore them. We can't just pretend that they're not there. And so what happens is in this unit, we're going to look very, very closely at the fears and the doubts that could be holding you back, and that you know, honestly, every yoga teacher I've ever worked with, every person I've worked with, and myself, has really found tremendous, tremendous benefit from moving through this. Because what happens is when you are able to identify that small thought of the ego, that egoic thought, that limiting belief, and release it, you can step into a place of fearlessness, which is our yoga. You can step into that place of joy. You can step into that place of courage, and you find freedom and joy and bliss. It becomes a lot more fun to do your yoga teaching when you're not saddled down with a lot of baggage that keeps you small, that keeps you worrying about things that happened yesterday or last week or a year ago or mistakes you made 10 years ago. When you can release those, if you have a bad experience one day where something doesn't go well, let's say you go to a meeting and you don't like the response you get, how long does it take you to release that? Or are you still hanging on to it a week later? And what bliss are you missing in that week? Okay? So we're going to look today at how to just move through difficult spaces, difficult days, difficult feelings quickly so that you're empowered, you're strong, and you can find that freedom, joy, and bliss that comes from true liberation and really step out to serve. So, you know, the life of a thriving yogini, the life of a thriving yoga teacher is one of bliss. So if you are not living in bliss every day, you've got blocks, okay? And this is where we're going to look how to let them go. They could be things on the inner plane, inner blocks, or they could be baggage in the outer world. It could be activities that you're holding on to that you don't need to be holding on to. It could be relationships that need to be transformed and shifted. It could be clarifying boundaries, giving yourself the freedom to do that, the empowerment to do that. And very likely there's inner and outer work to do to help you move into bliss. So I'm just looking at my notes here. Okay. I think we're going to start with the guidebook and looking at the page on Kali. I want to talk a little bit about Kali and who is Kali and what is Kali all about, okay? And I even want to start with a chant to her before we get into this material. So I'm sure that most of you have seen the images of Goddess Kali, okay? She is a black goddess. She is the foremost of the 10 Mahavidyas, which are the 10 ferocious, kind of scary, surprisingly dark goddesses. She's the first one of those. And she's shown with her tongue hanging out, kind of lolling, her eyes rolling back. And she wears a necklace of skulls. Okay, there's a picture of her there on page one. Now, these skulls represent severed egoic thoughts. Okay? So it shows that this goddess has mastered the samskaras. She has mastered her small thinking, the small egoic thoughts. And she's her hands are covered in blood, and she is holding weapons that are also covered in blood. And in this picture, she's dancing on her husband, Shiva. So there's a story about Kali where Goddess Durga was fighting, and last week we told one story about Durga, and in another story of Durga, she's fighting Rakta Bija, which means seed of blood. Bija meaning seed and Rakta meaning blood. So every time they would cut the head off of this demon, Rakta Bija, more and more demons would spring up from the blood. So every drop of blood was a seed for a new demon. And so Durga got very angry, and she scrunched up her forehead. And out of her forehead, out of her anger, came Goddess Kali, who was even more ferocious and not quite so calm and in control as Goddess Durga. So while Goddess Durga is empowered and strong, Goddess Kali is all out there. Okay? Goddess Kali is not holding anything back. Goddess Kali is completely just spontaneous. She's not kind of sitting calmly on a lion. She's very spontaneously kind of letting loose. We could think of just cutting loose and just letting it all go, letting her hair down. She has uncombed hair. This is another thing about Goddess Kali. So the idea with Kali is that, number one, we can pray to her, we can call on her to help us break through the ego, to help us break through limiting beliefs. Another thought of Kali is we can surrender to her. So when difficult things happen, we can surrender to them as a gift from the goddess Kali, as a message to help us break through to our spiritual power. So when something happens that feels like it's cutting off our ego, it hurts our feelings, how can we let that go and move into bliss with Kali, to a deeper level of learning? Those are the lessons of Kali. So I invite you, just as we get started, or when you sit down to do your own work here with this module, to ask yourself, what limiting thoughts or beliefs are holding me back? What is keeping me from living my vision in the world? Okay? And some of you have already started to think about that on the forum, and I want to really acknowledge those of you who have said, gee, I'm noticing that it must be my limiting beliefs holding me back. So see if you can just start to identify what limiting beliefs are holding you back. And then, with Kali, imagine yourself without the beliefs. Who would I be without those beliefs? And finally, what would my yoga teaching look like if I didn't limit myself in these ways? For example, one person has posted on the forum about trouble setting boundaries. So what are the beliefs behind that? We'll get into some of the possible details in a little bit, but just imagining what could be holding me back and what would my life be like if I were completely comfortable setting boundaries? If it were totally okay to say to people, this is what my class costs, this is how many sessions it is, and this is how much time you have, you know, you have a time limit, and whatever the boundary is that you need to set, and there was no discomfort doing that, what would that free up in you? What would that free up in your life, and what would that free up in your teaching? Would you feel different when you were teaching your classes if you were completely comfortable setting boundaries? Okay. I want to invite in the sacred energy of Kali, because this is really a sacred practice that we're doing here. To release these thoughts. Before that, I do that, I want to just kind of give an outline for where we're going today, so you have an outline for our training call. I do want to talk again about the forum. So, just because I know that some people are still struggling a little bit with that. I know some of you are totally down with that, but we'll go over the forum again. We're going to do our chanting. And then we're going to look in specific at the types of limiting beliefs that could be holding you back. And we're going to talk about Patanjali and how these limiting beliefs fit into the yogic structure and how they relate to our spiritual path. We're going to look at limiting beliefs and empowering beliefs, and we're going to talk about how to find reframes. In other words, when you have a limiting belief, how do you find a more empowering belief? But even more than that, what if you're so stuck? What if you actually believe the limiting belief? What if you think it's true, right? We'll talk about some of the most powerful methods that I know for moving through these. And dialogue with loving wisdom presence, and really one of the most powerful tools that I know is called emotional freedom technique, or tapping. So today we're going to learn how to use tapping to enter that kind of stuck energy pattern around a limiting belief and all the feelings associated with it and the thoughts associated with it, how to deeply enter that so that you can get to the other side. It's like entering a wave. You enter the wave of emotion. You enter the wave of the thought to release it. And then when you get to the other side and it has softened its energy, you can see more of a reframe. Okay. And I have a volunteer who's going to come on our call, Jenny, and do some tapping and demonstrate how the emotional freedom technique works. So thank you, Jenny. I know you're here on the call. We're going to talk about your relationship to time, because Goddess Kali is also time, and how to really assess the activities you're doing, which ones you love, which ones you don't, and get ready to release the ones you don't. And I know some of you last week asked me about what to do if your plate is already full. If you're, for example, a studio owner or a teacher who has a full plate and you need to let go of some things, how do you decide what to let go of first? And the other thing is sometimes new teachers are working another job with another income and want to know when to release that job and how to let it go gradually. And those are big decisions, so we'll talk about those kinds of decisions. Then we're going to look at writing your bio. And in a way that's not completely related to the unit on Kali, because it's not about releasing. However, I want to, in this Thriving Yoga Teacher program, I want to give you some piece of stepping forward with your marketing, that Lakshmi energy, every week, right? So last week we really talked about how to find your niche, that is part of your passion, that's Durga. And we're going to take that, your clarity about your niche, your clarity about your ideal clients, and the work you did in Module 1 on finding the language that your ideal clients will relate to, the words they'll relate to, and we'll weave that into your bio. And also, as you release some of the stuck beliefs about yourself, it makes it easier to write a fun bio. It makes it easier to write a juicy bio that will pique the attention of the reader, because you don't want a boring bio, right? Boring is bad in marketing. And what you want is you want to pique curiosity. You want to have people say, oh, wow, I can't wait to meet that person. Or, oh, I know somebody who could really use that person's help. Or, gee, I wonder if that could be me. Could this person help me? You want them to get curious. You want their heart to go, oh, right? You don't want them to say, that person is a really good writer. Nice yoga teacher. Good for them. No. So we're going to talk about how to do that with your bio, and I actually have another volunteer, Maureen, who has offered to, she's very bravely stepped in here to share her in-process bio with us, and I'm going to help her with her makeover so we can do that together and see how that works. All right. Ah. And good for Maureen for stepping through any fears and doing that. Yay. And so that's our class for today. Before we start with our mantras, let me just once again here go to the forum. So just to remind you all how to post, you don't want to miss this incredible opportunity to get feedback from your peers. After class today, I want you all to go and post your bio and give each other feedback. You can add, I think what I'm going to do at the end of this class today, I'm going to add a form that says, please post your bio here. Okay? Put your bio on that discussion post. You click on it, and then you say, reply. I'll say, post your bio here, and then you reply to this. You put reply, and then you say, after you've typed in your bio, you say, add reply. There's a button that makes it go live. Okay, and if you're having any trouble, you can email Liz or post a question to Liz. Again, good posting karma for our forum is reply to two other people's posts for every request you make for help. And there's some really good discussions going on here. The ahas, what people have shared, what they learned from Module 1, and it's really some great stuff. You want to read this. You guys are great. You're introducing yourself and replying. Okay, so go on there. So, Kali, I want you just to maybe stretch for a moment, get comfortable. And the mantra for Goddess Kali is on page 1. And you can just close your eyes and repeat each word after me once first. Om. Kleem. Kali Kaye. Namaha. So Om, the cosmic sound, opening to our oneness with this beautiful cosmos. Kleem is the seed mantra for Kali, Kleem. Kali Kaye would mean we bow to Goddess Kali. Kali Kaye, we bow to her. Namaha, her sacred name. Namaha, the name, honoring the name. Let's just repeat those words one more time. Om. Kleem, Kali Kaye, Namaha. And bringing to mind ferocious Kali, tongue hanging out, wildly dancing on the battlefield, ecstasy, blood coming off of her hands, blood off of her weapons, dancing her frenzied dance, wearing skulls, wearing severed heads, actually, with blood dripping down from those severed heads, the small ego being severed. And we'll just chant her mantra three times. Om Kleem Kali Kaye Namaha. And again. Om Kleem Kali Kaye Namaha. One more time, deep breathing in. Om Kleem Kali Kaye Namaha. Feeling your surrender to Goddess Kali. Feeling your desire for the Divine Mother to remove whatever's holding you back, remove your limitations, your small thoughts, and go with you into that vast, vast openness, the vast darkness of Goddess Kali, oneness with your divine true being. Oh, and with gratitude to Goddess Kali for being with us today and supporting all of us on this journey, let's turn the page to page 2. And these are all the kinds of thoughts that yoga teachers might have. Can you recognize any of these? I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not earning enough, and it feels awful. I'm too lazy. What if I can't deliver? What if I promise and I can't deliver? What if other people think badly of me? I don't know enough. Nobody can help me. I'm too busy. I'm not worth charging that much money. I'll never learn to set appropriate boundaries. Okay. This doesn't feel very fun, right? It's very heavy. It sinks you down. Let's turn the page. And what if you could think these thoughts instead? What if you didn't have those kind of heavy, dark thoughts, but you had, I am fine just the way I am. I have everything inside of me that I need to serve the person that's in front of me, even if that's referring them to someone else. I can help this person. The goddess sends me exactly the clients I'm meant to serve. I'm given exactly what I need to serve this class. I can take the time I need to prepare. I can take the space I need to set my boundaries. My bliss serves the goddess. When I'm doing what I love, I'm serving the world at my best. I am exactly where I'm meant to be. What if instead of believing that, oh, this is taking too long, why is it taking so long for me to build my practice, we believed this is unfolding at the perfect right speed? What if instead of feeling I owe it to those people to keep that class, we had the sense I am free to release activities that no longer serve my highest purpose? If that is no longer serving me, it's okay to let it go. Wouldn't that feel better? I am loved just as I am. I wouldn't be given an opportunity if I weren't ready. I don't have to be perfect. I can grow into this. I can let my students see my imperfections. I can let my students see my mistakes. I can show up just as I am. I choose to focus on people who need my help rather than my small thoughts, my fears, and my doubts. Okay, so those are some examples, and I've put them here for you to kind of look through and see which ones might be affecting you, right? So these are some places to look when you're looking for the beliefs that are stuck, that are holding you back. Another place to look is going through that unit on Durga, and I encourage you to write down any ifs, ands, or buts that came to you as you were working on Durga. So if you were really wanting to choose a niche and you heard a little voice inside your head say, you can't do that because, right, that's a limiting belief. Write it down. Or if when you were wanting to claim your gifts and say, this is what I'm really good at, and you heard a little voice that said, oh, that's stuck up. You sound stuck up. That's a limiting belief. Because the goddess loves to own her gifts. It's not egotistical. It's power. It's clarity. It's service to own your gifts. So if there's a fear in you that it's not okay to own your gifts, write that down as a limiting belief. So a very good place to look to find your limiting beliefs is go through that whole unit on Durga and see, can you fill out every page in that guidebook with joy and love and bliss and strength and courage, all right? And if there's any place where you notice your heart shrink, that's a place to check out. That's a place to write down a limiting belief, and we're going to work on releasing it. Okay, so that's the first place to look for limiting beliefs. Some other places where you can look for limiting beliefs is to notice where you're stuck. What have you been knowing you need to do that you haven't been able to move forward with? What have you been wanting to move forward with that you haven't been able to? Okay, I worked with a client very recently who wants to start teaching in, who's curious, has never done this before, right, but wants to start teaching in a corporation and would like to pick up the phone and call that corporation. But you know, it's like the phone weighs 800 pounds, hasn't been able to do it. So what are the limiting beliefs behind there? Well, it could be, I don't know what to charge. It could be, I'm scared that they'll say no. It could be, what if I teach the class and nobody likes it? Okay? Those are limiting beliefs that can make it very hard to reach out. So write down each one of those types of beliefs, and we'll work on them. We'll tap on them and do other things to release and move through them. Okay, what about the example that I used a little bit earlier where someone was saying, I'm afraid to set boundaries with my students? The limiting beliefs behind that could be something like, people won't like me if I set boundaries. My students might disagree with me, and I won't know what to say. Another limiting belief might be, I'm a yoga teacher, so I'm just supposed to serve. I'm not supposed to have needs. And the boundaries are about my needs. another limiting belief might be, my students' needs are more important than my needs. Okay? So find out what's going on inside of you that is holding you back and write it down. Another way to find a limiting belief is if you have a bad day and you're feeling bad about it, notice what the thoughts are. What are you telling yourself? Let's say you go to a meeting and you find out that they're not going to pay, as this is a recent example from a recent client. They're not going to pay as much at that studio as you feel is fair. It seems really unfair to you. And you're really upset that you drove all the way to that studio. Okay, what are some of the beliefs that might make that really upsetting? Well, one of them is, I can't believe I wasted my time driving to that. You could be mad at yourself. You could be blaming yourself. It could be a judgment about what that person is charging or paying. So it could be, that is a really bad, unfair person, and I can't believe they're charging that much. Now, on the one hand, we might all agree that that's unfair, and you might, as Durga, choose not to work there. But there could also be some energy to release around the judgment, okay, through a mental inversion posture, which we're going to teach today. Or let's say you go to a networking event where you want to, maybe there's a gathering of yoga teachers in your area and you want to meet some and maybe find a place where you could teach a workshop. And you come home and you're exhausted and you're just feeling, okay, excuse my French, crappy. So what are the thoughts behind the feeling? It could be, I didn't do a very good job at that, or I'm never going to learn this, I'm never going to know how to market, or wow, I was feeling so shy when I met that person. I should have asked for her contact information, and I was too afraid. I was too afraid to ask for her contact information, okay? So that fear in that moment would have been a limiting belief. I'm afraid to ask for her contact information. Or maybe another limiting belief might be, everyone here knows how to network except me, or everyone here is the right kind of yoga teacher and I'm the wrong kind of yoga teacher, or everyone here knows people and I don't, because that could very well be a limiting belief that's making it unfun to be there. Another way to find limiting beliefs is to imagine the goals that you want to accomplish. So what do you want in your life? What do you want in your yoga teaching? And imagine yourself stepping into action to accomplish that goal. And if you hear little thoughts in the back of your mind saying, you'll never achieve that because that's a limiting belief. Or if you imagine that moving towards it would be unpleasant or scary or boring, that's a limiting belief that can be shifted. Okay. So Patanjali talks about limiting beliefs kind of as deep grooves in our consciousness. And the word that's used that's parallel to this is samskara. Sometimes our samskaras come from previous births. Sometimes they come from wounding and injury. We use the word trauma a lot in the West. Come from trauma in this lifetime, from, you know, painful experiences happening in our childhood or our adulthood, right? And they create grooves in the mind. And then all sorts of things constellate or hook up to this groove, feelings, thoughts, memories, stories, and the groove can become very established, and that's a samskara. And so Patanjali talks about them, and he says that true knowledge, the blissful true knowledge, when we experience blissful true knowledge, the previous samskaras are left behind, and new ones are prevented from sprouting. So the more we take time to live in our bliss state, to find our bliss state, the more the samskaras will be softened, the more easy it will be to remove them, to move through them, the less stick they'll have. And this is why working with our limiting beliefs is really a deeply spiritual process. And isn't it wonderful that the things that it takes to be on our spiritual path also will help our yoga business and also will help us become better yoga teachers? It's great that those two things come together. And potentially also talks about the kleshas, or the veils, that prevent us from seeing the radiance of divine self. And some of these relate, I think, very well to the kinds of limiting beliefs we often have. So one of the veils is innocence of our divine nature, right? So the more we know our divine nature, the fewer samskaras will be born. So that innocence of our divine nature is avidya. The next one, asmita, undue trust in the individual self. This is believing in our small self too much. So when we as yoga teachers believe that we are the doer, that we have to do it, when we personally identify too much, it becomes very hard to progress, to grow, to expand, to thrive, to live in that blissful ecstasy state. And when we understand instead that we are not the doer, that the goddess is moving in and through us, we release the small self, it becomes much easier to do the things that seem scary. Another one, Dvesha, I love this, excessive avoidance of unpleasant experiences. So, for example, picking up the phone and calling a place where you might like to teach a class could be an unpleasant experience, because if they say no to you, that could be unpleasant, right? And so then if you avoid that activity because you might get a no, that is excessive avoidance of unpleasant experiences. We want to be able to tolerate the fact that we might get some no's in order to get all those yeses. It's like you're going for the yes, so just we have to not care about the no's that come along the way. We have to not worry that there will be some. It's not really pleasant to have someone say no to you, but it's part of the journey. It's absolutely part of the journey. And so being willing to step out there with the goddess in a big, empowered way and say, you know, there's going to be people who don't want what I have to offer, and that's fine. They're not my ideal client. That's not my ideal place to teach. Totally fine. It's okay. And being okay with those small, unpleasant experiences will enable you to move much more quickly through them to the place that is going to say yes to you, the studio that is going to pay you what you would like to be paid, that feels good, right? So one more thing I want to say about the small self and the fears is that this happens to all teachers, whether you are a beginning teacher or a very experienced teacher, okay? This is not something that you get over once as a newbie and never comes up again, okay? So what happens is every time you up-level, the limitations come back. Sometimes the same limitation needs to be released and the lesson needs to be learned on a deeper level. Sometimes it's a different limitation. But the bigger the game you're playing, the bigger you're being in the world, the more you're stepping into your divine self, the more that you will need to work with your shadow and release it. So if you're a new teacher, it might be showing up in terms of fears or difficulties getting started with your first class or setting those first beginning boundaries. If you're really if you're stepping into your fullness in a way and you're getting ready, for example, to offer your first yoga teacher training, you might be having feelings like, well, who am I to offer a yoga teacher training? Or if you've been doing privates for a while and now you're ready to offer them in packages that have a higher investment level and more bonuses, you might be feeling fears about that. Who am I to charge that much? Or if you have a teacher training or you have a really deep program that you've been offering, but you're not getting it out in a very big way and you're not getting very much response, okay, what's going on there? What is the block there? It could be that you are afraid to really do the networking, or that there's some block around really, really doing the partnering and doing the empowered Lakshmi gifting marketing that it's going to take to find the people who are just waiting for you, waiting for that training, so that the training is not a small training, but you're really reaching the women and men you're meant to serve. So whatever level you're working at, wherever you're a little stuck is where your work is. Okay. Let me see how we're doing. So here is the next page, page 5, some more really common areas for limiting beliefs. Go ahead and look at this. This will give you some ideas. And Jenny, I'm going to call on you in just a minute. And so everyone, let's look at page 5. There's beliefs around money, fear of failure, fear of success, self-worth, marketing, sales, creativity, passion, and believing you're obligated. And Jenny, I'm going to see if I can find you on the phone here and unmute you. Actually, no. One more thing. See if Jenny, go ahead and see if there's a block in one of those areas you'd like to work on. And I'm going to come back to you in just a few minutes. Let's go on to page 6. So these are the methods of transforming limiting beliefs. The first one, and this is really the simplest one, you can do this any moment, is a dialogue with loving wisdom presence. So this we kind of went over, and it's in the guided visualization from Module 1. And what I love to do is when I have a limiting belief, I can just offer it on the altar of my heart to the goddess. I get quiet, take a breath, and I say, look at this limiting belief. What would you like me to know about this? And often I will hear a response that tells me the reframe, that tells me the way to think about it that is more empowering. So if I'm saying, wow, I just wrote this email to my list and I'm getting ready to send it and all of a sudden I'm scared, just hit that send button. Take a deep breath and I will just tune in and say, Divine Mother, what do you want me to know about this? And as I calm and center, very often what will happen is I will just get a clear picture of why I need to send that email, that, you know, there are women waiting for this message. And I thank the goddess for that clarification. I thank the goddess for the grounding that I've received from that message. Take another few breaths, open my eyes, and hit send. You know, it's like, take the action. And it's not that the fear is gone. So this is something that I really want you to get. You don't have to remove all of the fear. Can you remove enough to act? Can you remove enough to step forward? The whole Bhagavad Gita, there's Krishna, is so terrified to step into the battle that he gets depressed. And sometimes this is what happens when we are so terrified that we stop ourselves, and it can lead to depression, right? So he was depressed. He had this long conversation with Krishna about why this was his yoga, why this was his dharma to step forward, and why, even though his actions would be imperfect, and I want you to get this, your actions will be imperfect, right? And that's okay. That's really okay. There's still your dharma. There's still your own right path. And so can you step out with Krishna onto that battlefield? Can you step out with Durga, with the power and the love of Durga? So that's the first method, method one, dialogue with loving wisdom presence. And the second one is emotional freedom technique, also called EFT or tapping. There's a photo of yours truly. And I'm tapping right there on the outside of my eye, which is one of the points for tapping. So in tapping, we're taking that stuck energy that has been holding the thought in place, and we're allowing ourselves to go a little bit more deeply into it while we tap energy meridian points on the body. Okay? This is like holding a yoga pose for an extended period of time so that the energy builds up. Right? When you hold one pose for a long time and the heat builds and the energy builds, sometimes emotions will rise, thoughts will rise, and they can be released. This is very similar. You're going to enter the wave of feeling and the complex, the set of feelings associated with that belief. And as you enter them and then tap on the different meridians, there's a flow. It releases. Okay? And then as the strength around that thought diminishes, you are free to pick a new thought that is more empowering. So I want you to turn to page 8, and here are the tapping points. Okay, first one is crown of the head, and you're going to lightly tap with your fingertips. It doesn't matter if you use right or left hand. And then you're going to lightly tap the eyebrow. So again, it doesn't matter if you use right or left hand, and you can come back on subsequent rounds. You're going to do multiple rounds. And tap on the other side. You can even tap on both eyebrows, or just I like to tap on one side and then maybe the subsequent round come around on the other side. So it's just a light tapping. You're not hurting yourself. So there's the eyebrow where the eyebrow is coming to the nose. There's the side of the eye. That's the one that I was doing in the photo. And you're tapping on the bony ridge at the side of the eye. Then under the eye, there's a bony ridge there. Find the bony ridge and tap on it. And then under the nose, so I'm tapping, and it's a pretty quick tapping. I'm going tap, 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 tap. And then under the chin, this is in the cleft of the chin. I actually have to, I've got a kind of deep cleft, so I have to pull my lip, my lower lip in, tap under the chin. Then there's the collarbone, so just under the collarbone. And then under the arm, it's about 4 inches under the armpit where your bra strap would come if you were wearing a bra. Okay? So those are the tapping points. Let's go back to page 5, and I'm going to go to the phone and see if I can find Jenny. Ah, it's nice to be here with you all. Let me see. Barre, Massachusetts. Let's see. Jenny?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Hello? Great. Hi.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm a little nervous, but I'm fine.
Totally. You're in the right place. That's exactly why you're here. And thank you so much for being brave enough, Jenny, to be my volunteer and to step in and demonstrate this for everybody. It's really a great service that you're doing. And I hope it's helpful for you, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. So has anything come up today while we've been going through this, all these different limiting beliefs? Are there any limiting beliefs that you're aware of that you'd like to work on?
Yes, I've got something that's a little bit around money, a little bit around failure, and a little bit around marketing. So can I say a few sentences to you that pull in all three of those?
Well, let's see. We might want to write them down separately and do one at a time, or they might really be overlapping. And this is a great point. I'll just say for everyone, when you're doing tapping, it's good to write down your beliefs. And we'll go in a little bit into the handouts and where a place that I've given you here.
Okay.
It's good to what I do is in my journal, actually, I keep a list. And if I'm tapping, I will write down the limiting belief before I start tapping as one sentence. And I sometimes will have two or three sentences. I do this in the mornings before meditation. And tap on them one at a time, and sometimes they'll shift, but it's actually good to take a smaller belief and work with one at a time. But let's see what you've got. What do you have to work on?
Okay, well, what I wrote down was, what if I can't really build a viable business from my gifts and interests?
Great.
I won't be able to market. I won't be able to get enough clients, enough money. So I think build the viable business is the big bucket, and everything else kind of falls into that.
Client, not having enough clients and not having enough money.
Sure, or
yeah.
and marketing. You know, just I'm not going to be able to do this marketing thing, which is great because I just call it the marketing thing.
Right. So you know what, Jenny? this is so great, and I'm going to guess if I were to say to everyone on the call who's listening, who also has this issue, go ahead and press star 2 just for a moment so I can see you. I'm going to guess that a lot of other people have this. Just press star 2 if you can totally relate. Okay, hands are going up to what Jenny's talking about. Yes, star 2. 5, oh my goodness, 6, yeah. People can relate, Jenny. So you're not the only one. Very good. What if I can't build a viable business? I'm not going to be able to do this marketing thing. Good. All right. Is that it, or does that include the three pieces?
Well, the other piece would be I'm not going to get enough clients, and therefore I'm not going to get enough money.
Yeah. Okay, good. So here's how we're going to tap on this. Actually, I think I'm just going to jump right in because you have nailed it right on the head, and I want everybody to hear. You can unraise your hands. Just press star 2 and it'll unraise your hand. Jenny, you've done brilliantly, and I want everyone to get this, that you've gone right for the core and right for the feeling. I can feel that you're in it. A lot of times people will talk about it with a little more distance, and so we're just ready to tap, okay?
Right.
So here's what the rest of you are muted, so I'm going to encourage everyone to tap along. So what's going to happen is I'm going to make some guesses for Jenny as we start this. And Jenny, you should feel free to change any of my sentences in any way that you like to make them really fit your situation, to make them feel true for you, okay?
Okay.
So you don't have to copy what I say, but I'm going to say something and I recommend that you repeat it or make it your own. And then those of you who are listening on the phone or listening to the recording, go ahead and tap along. And we call this borrowed benefits. Okay? You can borrow Jenny's benefits from this tapping exercise. And I'm just going to do one more that was not in this handout, the one more tapping point, and this is the side of the hand. If you make a fist, it's where you would be hitting if you did a karate chop. If you make a little fist, kind of on the pinky side where the pinky finger wraps around, then on the side of your palm, we're going to tap karate chop, and I'm going to start there with love and acceptance. And let me see if there's anything else I want to say. So everybody go ahead and start with the karate chop picture, the karate chop point. The picture in your handout comes from Pamela Bruner, who's my mentor, and we sometimes use the karate chop and sometimes don't. It's not in that picture. Okay, so chopping on the karate chop, are you there, Jenny?
Yes.
Okay. Even though I'm scared, I won't succeed.
Even though I'm scared, I won't succeed.
I love and accept myself completely.
I love and accept myself completely.
Even though I'm scared, I'll never figure out this marketing thing.
Even though I'm scared, I'll never figure out this marketing thing.
I'm open to a new way of seeing this.
I'm open to a new way of seeing this.
Okay. Kind of ahead. What have I gotten myself into?
What have I gotten myself into?
Eyebrow, I don't know if I can do this.
I don't know if I can do this.
Outside of the eye, I don't know if I can build the business I want.
I don't know if I can build any kind of business.
Under the eye, I don't know if I can build a business.
I don't know if I can build a business.
Under the nose, I might not be able to do this.
I might not be able to do this.
On the chin, this is really scary.
This is really scary.
Under the collarbone, I feel really scared.
I feel really scared.
Under the arm, I am so scared about this.
I am so scared about this.
Crown and head, I want to do this.
I want to do this.
Eyebrow, I know I love yoga teaching.
I know I love yoga teaching.
Outside of the eye, I really know I love to teach yoga.
I really know I love to teach yoga. And I'm good at it.
I know I'm good. Good. I know I'm good at it.
I know I'm good at it.
Under the eye, but I'm afraid I'm not good at marketing.
But I'm afraid I'm not good at marketing.
Under the nose, I can't even say the word marketing.
I can't even say the word marketing.
I have to call it a marketing thing.
I have to call it a marketing thing. Like a beast.
Like a beast. It looks like a collarbone. It looks like a beast.
It looks like a beast.
Under the arm, marketing is a beast.
Marketing is a beast.
Crown of the head, I'm afraid it's a beast I'll never tame.
I'm afraid it's a beast I'll never tame.
Eyebrow, I'm afraid it's like a barking dog or a biting dog I'll never tame.
I'm afraid it's like a biting dog I'll never tame.
Outside of the eye, I'm afraid I'll never get good at marketing.
I'm afraid I'll never get good at marketing.
Under the eye, I'm afraid I'll never build my business.
I'm afraid I'll never build my business.
Under the nose, I'm afraid I won't succeed.
I'm afraid I'll fail.
On the chin, I'm afraid I'll fail.
I'm afraid I'll fail.
Under the collarbone. And when I think about failing.
And when I think about failing.
The worst part of that is.
The worst part of that is.
Okay, Jenny, what's the worst thing that comes up for you when you think about failing?
Not knowing what I'm for, feeling like I really thought this was the thing that I'm supposed to do with my life, and being afraid that not being a good marketer sometimes somehow makes me not a good yoga teacher.
Aha, okay. Under the arm, I could lose my faith in myself.
I could lose my faith in myself.
Crown of the head. Right now, at least I think I'm good at yoga and teaching.
Right now, at least I think I'm good at teaching yoga.
Eyebrow. But if I'm not good at marketing.
But if I'm not good at marketing.
Eyebrow. Maybe I'll just feel like a total failure.
Maybe I'll just feel like a total failure.
Under the eye. I don't know if I could stand that.
I don't know if I could stand that.
Under the nose. I don't know if I could stand not being able to learn marketing.
I don't know if I could stand having to learn marketing. That just
on the
slipped
chin.
Out.
Okay, so do you see that? Okay, it's great. You're doing great, Jenny. Do you see that the core belief is it's shifting. What we're working on is shifting. It started out was I'm afraid that I won't be able to learn it, and now it's like I don't think I can stand it. Yeah? It's fine. It's a different belief.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the intensity on the first one has come down a little bit. Has it come down a little bit?
Yeah.
We're not done. But it's so now this happens, that as you release, as the intensity of the first one comes down, then a new one comes in. So we're now in, I don't know if I want to learn marketing. I don't think I can stand it. So let's go with this, but I don't want to lose track on the first one. So we're going to go with this for right now. Okay. I don't know if I can stand to learn marketing.
I don't know if I can stand to learn marketing.
And
actually, you know, I think it's about self-promotion. So I don't know if I can stand to learn to promote myself.
Uh-huh. And what's the worst part of promoting yourself, Jenny?
What if I'm not all that? What if I'm not as good as I am?
What if I'm not that good?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, I'm not going to ask everyone to raise hands, Gwen, to stay with you, but I can guarantee you are not the only one feeling that way right now. This is good work, okay? Okay. We're going to keep going. What if I'm not that good?
What if I'm not that good?
Okay. Under the collarbone. What if I'm making it up when I say that I'm a good yoga teacher?
What if I'm making it up when I say that I'm a good yoga teacher?
Under the armpit. What if in promoting myself I have to exaggerate?
What if in promoting myself I have to exaggerate?
Crown of the head. What if I have to stand there and give a talk? And tell people that they should come study with me.
What if I have to stand there and give a talk and explain to people why they should come study with me?
Eyebrow, what if I have to ask people to come try a private session with me?
What if I have to ask people to come try a private session with me?
Outside of the eye. Ah!
Ah!
Under the eye. That's scary.
That's scary.
Under the nose. How do I know I'm any good?
How do I know I'm any good? People have told me, but maybe they're lying.
Okay. People think, okay, chin. People tell me I'm good.
People tell me I'm good.
Under the collarbone. And sometimes I even think I'm good.
And sometimes I agree. I think I'm good.
Uh-huh. Under the arm. But then sometimes I'm not so sure.
But then sometimes I'm not so sure.
Crown of the head. Especially when it's time for marketing, I'm really not sure.
Especially when it's time for marketing, I'm really not sure.
Okay. Eyebrow. When I'm just with a client, I love it.
When I'm just with a client, I love it.
Outside of the eye. And actually, I know I'm good.
And actually, I know I'm good.
Under the eye. But then I'm looking at the sea of faces of people I don't know.
But then I'm looking into a sea of faces of people I don't know.
Under the nose. And I don't know if I'd be good with them.
And I don't know if I'd be good with them.
On the chin. I don't know if I can help them.
I don't know if I can help them.
Under the collarbone. So am I lying when I say I'm good?
So am I lying when I say I'm good?
Under the eye. I really don't want to lie.
I really don't want to lie.
Kind of bad. That feels awful.
That would feel awful.
That's the kind of marketing I don't want to learn.
That's the kind of marketing I don't want to learn.
Outside of the eye. So it's really important to me that I can be honest in my marketing.
So it's really important to me that I can be honest in my marketing.
Under the eye. But the truth is, I love to teach yoga.
But the truth is, I love to teach yoga.
Under the nose. And the truth is, I know I'm good at it with the right clients.
And the truth is, I know I'm good at it with the right clients.
On the chin. I wonder if I could accept the fact that I don't have to serve everyone.
I wonder if I can accept the fact that not everyone has to think I'm great.
Under the collarbone. I wonder if I can accept the fact that some people are my ideal clients.
I wonder if I can accept that some people are my ideal clients.
Under the arm. And I'm really good at helping my ideal clients.
And I'm really good at helping my ideal clients.
Crown of the head. That's why they're my ideal clients.
That's why they're my ideal clients.
Eyebrow. And my ideal clients love me.
And my ideal clients love me.
Outside of the eye. They love me so much.
They love me so much.
Under the eye. And the truth is, I'd like more ideal clients.
And the truth is, I'd like more ideal clients.
Under the nose. I'd like more clients I can really help.
I'd like more clients I can really help.
On the chin. I'd love to be teaching more yoga.
I would love to be teaching more yoga and having more private clients.
Mm-hmm. Under the collarbone. And the truth is, I know there's a lot of people out there I could help.
And the truth is, I know there's a lot of people out there I could help.
Under the arm. And a lot of them have not met me yet.
And a lot of them have not met me yet.
Crown of the head. And it's partly up to me to help them find me.
And it's up to me to help them find me. I need to stop hiding.
What did you say?
I need to stop hiding.
Yeah. As long as I'm hiding, they can't find me.
As long as I'm hiding, they can't find me.
Outside of the eye, I really want to help my ideal clients.
I really want to help my ideal clients.
Under the eye, I really want to help with... Jenny, do you want to say who you want to help?
Oh, sure. I really want to help particularly women who are struggling in addictions recovery.
Yeah. Under the nose, I want to help women with addictions recovery.
I want to help women with addictions recovery.
On the chin, I want to help women with addictions recovery more than anything in the world.
I want to use yoga to help women in recovery more than anything else.
Yeah. Under the collarbone, because I know how much it helped me.
Because I know how much it helped me.
Under the arm. And I'm grateful to the person who helped me find yoga.
Oh, and I'm grateful to all the people who helped me find yoga.
Crown of the head. So many little angels along the way.
So many little angels along the way.
Eyebrow, who brought me where I needed to go.
Who brought me where I needed to go, even when I didn't want to go.
Okay, eyebrow. So many angels have guided me on my path.
So many angels have guided me on my path.
Outside of the eye. I wonder if I could be that angel for someone else.
I wonder if I could be that angel for someone else.
Under the eye. I wonder if my showing up and giving a talk.
I wonder if my showing up and giving a talk.
Under the nose makes me an angel for one person in that audience.
Makes me an angel for one person in that audience.
On the chin, who will thank me for the rest of their life.
Who will thank me for the rest of their life.
Under collarbone, for giving them hope and changing the course of their addiction.
For giving them hope in changing the course of their addiction.
Under the arm, I wonder if I could be that angel.
I wonder if I could be that angel.
Crown of the head. And I wonder if part of that angel is standing in the power that I'm a good teacher.
I wonder if part of being that angel is standing in the power that I'm a good teacher.
Eyebrow. I wonder if I could see marketing as being an angel.
I wonder if I could see marketing as being an angel.
Eyebrow. And I wonder if I could just be like that angel looking for the people I'm meant to serve.
And I wonder if I could be like that angel looking for the people I'm meant to serve.
Under the eye. I wonder if I could become successful at that.
I wonder if I could become successful at that.
Under the nose. I know I want to be successful at that.
I know I want to be successful at that.
On the chin. I want to be other people's angel.
I want to be other people's angel.
Under the collarbone, I wonder if I could be okay with the fact that not everyone sitting in the room is my ideal client.
I wonder if I can be okay with the fact that not everyone sitting in the room is my ideal client.
Under the arm, and accept that as, you know, a slightly uncomfortable thing for me.
And accept that as something uncomfortable, but true.
Yeah. Crown of the head, so that I can be a powerful angel.
So that I can be a powerful angel in the right circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Eyebrow. And I wonder if I can take what I already know about giving those talks.
And I wonder if I can take what I already know about giving those talks.
Outside of the eye, and what I already know about being that angel.
And what I already know about being that angel.
Under the eye, and open myself to learn even more, to be a better angel.
And open myself to learn even more, to be better.
Under the nose, I wonder if it's okay to learn what I need to learn to be successful.
I wonder if it's okay to learn what I need to learn to be successful.
And I wonder if I can acknowledge myself for all the incredible steps I've already taken in that direction.
And I wonder if I can acknowledge myself for all the steps I've taken in that direction.
Under the collarbone. And know that it's a journey with Durga.
And know that it's a journey with Durga.
Under the arm. She's walking right next to me.
She's walking right next to me.
Crown of the head. Durga wants me to succeed.
Durga wants me to succeed.
Eyebrow. And with her guidance, I'm willing to walk the journey.
And with her guidance, I'm willing to walk the journey.
Okay, stop tapping. Take a breath. I'm afraid I won't succeed. How strong is that now?
Less so, maybe 5 on a scale of 10.
Okay. And I don't want to learn what I have to learn to market. It looks awful. How strong is that?
Oh, maybe like a 3, maybe a 2.
Okay. So good. That was good. Tell me a little bit more about the I'm afraid I won't succeed, and what is making it still a 5? Talk to me a little more.
I think it's more about the logistics of feeling so new, having just relocated, and just still not feeling like I've got the right network and connections.
Yeah.
It's a lot less about can I go out into the world and present my material. I think this has helped a lot with those fears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jenny, I know there's more work to be done here, and I'm guessing that the next piece for you is going to have to do with there's too much to do or I'm too new, because it's very true that, you know, you have just moved to a new part of the country, and it takes time. And so there could be, you could do some tapping on, you know, if I don't succeed in 3 months, I'm a failure, rather than giving it the time that it realistically can take.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I thought it was really great that it went from a 10 to a 5. So
it is.
I'm writing
great.
Down
it
what you're saying,
great.
But
felt there's more work to do here. We did a lot to release the first layers of it, and we did a lot to release the I don't want to learn marketing, to transform that into I'm an angel for my ideal clients when I market.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was the reframe that we got to. So that's good. And this whole piece of it's too big, which it can be very big when you move. So tapping on that and finding the reframe for that feeling of overwhelm of how much there is to do when you move to a new place.
Mm-hmm.
So write down some of the beliefs that are making it painful for you to be new in a new state and tap on them, and then report on the forum some of the reframes that you get to. Report what comes to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. I am looking at the webcast here. And we have a comment from Annette in Riverdale. Hi, Laura. Once again, thank you for such a great program for us teachers. I don't know if this is fear or perhaps an insecurity that I have, but I find that I am absolutely great at reflecting, journal, and writing my goals. Great. However, when it comes to actually taking what I've written and putting it into action is where I get stuck, yes. I've worked with coaches on reinventing myself and did so many exercises in the past to find my passion, but I feel stuck in putting it all together and making it happen. Great. So, Annette, what I'm going to recommend is visualize yourself with one of those things that you feel stuck on, and what are the fears? Or is it that you think it would be boring to take that step? Is it you think it would be scary? It would be unpleasant, or is there something scary that might happen once you have taken the action? See if you can find those fears, put them on the forum, and do some tapping on them. Okay, so thank you, Jenny, so much for being our volunteer. And I know that people are going to be thanking you also when we have ahas from this call. I want to draw all of your attention to page 7 here, the limiting beliefs self-assessment. So here, what I'm going to encourage you to do is, like, for example, with Jenny, for number 1, she might have written down, a limiting belief I have is, I'm afraid I won't be successful. We did not get to the total reframe for that yet. That would take, I think, more, this is a very deep one. It would take more time with Jenny, and I'm really curious what she comes up with as she does more tapping. But a second belief she had was, that we did get to a reframe for, was, a limiting belief I have is, I'm not going to enjoy learning marketing. It looks gross and awful. I'm probably not putting that in your words, Jenny. Someone could go back and listen to the recording. But the reframe we got was, when I learn marketing, I learn how to be an angel for women with addictions. I learn how to reach my ideal clients. That was the reframe that we got to. So write your limiting beliefs on here, and as you tap, you will get to the reframe. Okay. When we do our mentoring call on Monday, we'll have time to do tapping with more of you. So bring your limiting beliefs, and we'll see if we can get you to the reframe. Try this yourself and see what reframe you get to. Then write down the reframe. Sometimes the reframe comes to you right at the beginning, and sometimes you need to take more time with it. Now what I want to do is I want to talk about the bio. I want to be sure we get that in, the personal bio makeover. So I'm going to see if I can find Maureen on the phone system. Maureen, can you perhaps raise your hand? Let me see. Maureen, there you are. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on the show. You are on. Yeah. So what we're going to do with Maureen is I'm now on page 15 in the guidebook. So go ahead and come to follow along with me, folks, to page 15. And Maureen is being an empowered, fearless goddess to share her in-process bio with us. And I'm sure this is a little scary because we don't usually like to share our unfinished work with people, right? We want to share it when it's done, when it's perfect. And she very graciously sent this to me. Maureen is one of my private clients. And so she sent me her bio, which she just is creating a flyer for a talk that she would like to give at a community college on healthy, happy aging. So this is a bio. She sent it to me, and then I said a few comments to her. So what we're going to do is we're going to work on this together. First version, I'm just going to read it quickly. Maureen Farnsworth is a registered yoga teacher with National Yoga Alliance and an occupational therapist. Her experience as an occupational therapist was in the area of cardiac rehab and mental health. She spent 14 years as a career parent of two boys, homemaker, community, and church volunteer. Okay, I think I'm going to actually shorten and not read the whole thing. The last sentence, she says, she offers the wisdom of her personal experience and education to empower women through yoga toward greater health and happiness as they age and redefine themselves during the third phase of life. Okay. So what I want to say about this bio is that Maureen is starting with her certifications and her experience. And it's, you can start with your certifications and experience. Often it's juicier and more inviting to start with your passion and who you serve and why and the results you get them. So I encouraged her to move her bottom sentence up towards the top. And the other thing I said was that the bio was written a little bit more for a prospective employer and not so much for her ideal client. So I encouraged her to write to an ideal client. So then Maureen rewrote it in a much more personal way. So here's the rewrite at the bottom. Maureen Farnsworth is a registered yoga teacher with National Yoga Alliance and an occupational therapist. She offers the wisdom of her personal experience and education to empower women through yoga toward greater health and happiness in the third phase of life. Maureen started her yoga journey at the age of 40 and found herself experiencing a female midlife crisis. She couldn't seem to find the feisty, questioning, exploring, and full of wonder person she used to be. She was depressed, had developed arthritis, and was experiencing symptoms of perimenopause. Feeling poorly directly affected her ability to serve her family and to experience a sense of purpose in life. She would ask herself, is this it? What now? Yoga became a healthy way of nurturing herself that led to better health physically, mentally, and spiritually. She has found strength, flexibility, and balance in her body and her life. And then she goes on. Yoga. So there's even two more paragraphs. I'm just going to shorten here a little bit in what I read so we have time to talk, Maureen. So I pulled out some of my favorite words and phrases, okay? One of the things I want to say first, Maureen, to you is that on a flyer, you want a pretty short bio. I think this is a little longer than we are going to want on a flyer. So one of the things you want to know is on a website, you can have a longer bio. This might be a good length for a website. On a flyer, you're going to want about a third of this, possibly half of this, somewhere between a third and a half of this only. So we're going to need to cut quite a little bit. The other comment that I have is you really did go into the personal in this one, which I think is great. And some of it I think would be more appropriate in person, talking to people either in a class or in a talk, and not so much in your bio. So when you get into, she couldn't seem to find the feisty, questioning, exploring, and full of wonder person she used to be. She was depressed, had developed arthritis. Okay? That is great, juicy material for if you're talking to an audience, Maureen, that has experienced depression or has experienced aches and pains, that will be great perhaps to weave into your talk. I went through arthritis, and yoga helps me heal my arthritis. That could be very inspiring. But unless that's the main thing you're going to be getting at is, you know, healing arthritis or healing depression, it might be a little too many details to put into your print bio. Does that make sense, Maureen?
Yes. I felt like it was, I got way too much information because I don't know how to zero in on what I should have in there.
Yep. And the truth is, this is great because it's better to have too much than too little. You can always cut. So in a way, it's great what you've done, and it's great to have that. I'm going to take some of the pieces out of it now with you, and then you can weave them back into your talk if it's appropriate for your people. So I've pulled out some of my favorite words and phrases from what you wrote so far. I think registered yoga teacher is a great credibility point for you because you're certified. That will make you trustworthy. And you have this additional credentialing that you are trained as an occupational therapist. I would definitely include that. I don't think, you know, you took it out of your second one. I don't think to say where you worked as an occupational therapist, unless you're going to be doing cardiac, specializing in cardiac patients, I'm not sure that those two things are, you know, where you worked is as important. I love the word wisdom. We might want to weave that in here. Greater health and happiness like that. Maureen started yoga at age 40. I thought this was good because since you're wanting to work with seniors or people in the second half of life or third half, the fact that you were not in your, you know, a 20-something when you started yoga will make them feel like they can relate to you. I think that's good. Physical, mental, and spiritual health, like that phrase, she has found strength, flexibility, and balance, like that. Yoga has given her more energy and zest for living. That's good, but I wouldn't, when we rewrite this, I wouldn't put the two sentences together because we're using the word life too much. We'll have to pick which one we want. Positive. I like, you had the word positive. So something like positive spirit is coming to me for you. And harvest wisdom for the world. So your last sentence here, she hopes that the health and happiness of women will inspire them to join her in adopting a more positive third age identity and be able to see aging as a time of potential and harvesting of wisdom for the world. So here's the thing about that. You've got some good pieces in it, but it's a little bit too much, and it's not the way people talk. Okay? You want to be able to do your marketing the way people talk. It should sound conversational, and this sounds philosophical. You don't want to sound philosophical. You want to sound like a regular person that someone relates to, and they go, oh, me, I want that. So I wanted to ask you, are you specifically aiming the talk at women?
Yes, I guess so. Yes. I mean, I want to work with women.
Yeah. I would check when you go talk to the head of that center to set up your talk, because even if you don't say women in your bio and your flyer, you will still probably get 90% women if it says yoga, because that's who comes. And so you could put it in there. Where did you put it? Let's see. Yeah, she hopes that the health and happiness of women. The reason I say this is that the guy at the center who's setting up the talk might want it to be open to men.
Sure.
And I think,
should I ask him that?
I would ask him, and it's. I think that if they want it to be open to men, then I would do it, you know, without naming gender, and you will still probably get 90% women.
Sure. Okay. That seems easy enough.
And here's another big question for you, and this is something for people to really get. You use the phrase third age, and I know that you like that phrase, and my question to you is, do your people use self-identify as third age, or is that going to make people say, what does she mean, huh?
Do you want me to answer that or just reflect on it?
Yeah.
Which one?
Answer.
Oh, okay.
Do they use the word third? Do they say I'm in my third age?
No, but you know what? Here's my thought on that. Part of my thing is raising awareness within this age group that a new identity does need. There needs to be a new paradigm. There needs to be sort of like, I think of it like you know, I need to define that for them, sort of. And kind of like when you introduce maybe, or, you know, divine feminine isn't a word that the general public probably uses either. And so yet you had to introduce it as a concept, as a something to tap into. Does that make sense?
It does.
So part of it is sort of bringing people to awareness of that concept.
Great. So if that's, then that needs to become either the title of your talk or the main content of your talk, that you are going to help them embrace the challenges of aging, reframe aging as a positive experience that can be seen as a third age, or that can be seen as a, you know, where you gain wisdom and health and happiness as you grow older, rather than deteriorating as you grow older. But I wouldn't just kind of weave it into your bio without really, you need to really name it. And you need to actually use words that your own people are going to use. So, like for me, when I started with the word Divine Feminine, the Divine Feminine Telesummit, say 6 months ago, I actually used a lot of words that women already use, like women's healing and empowerment through yoga. So I was using a phrase that is already common and that resonates with the women that I wanted to reach. So I think for you it would be healthy, happy aging, and then if you could weave in the third age as your talk, seeing it as empowerment. But I wouldn't a positive spirit as you age, gaining a positive spirit as you age. Okay?
I get confused on that. It almost seems like that's a whole, like you said, big thing. I don't know. I'm going to get confused about that. But so what you're saying is get different words that would clarify what the third age is? Yeah?
I think you need to build a bridge from where they are and what they will already resonate with to where they want to go. We're going over just about 2 or 3 minutes here. I want to finish up with a possible draft for this, and then we'll put it on the – you and I can work on it some more and put it on the Ning site so that everyone can see it. So I'm just going to – actually, this is on the recording, so we'll get a transcript of it. I would start with – Maureen Farnsworth is passionate about helping women, or you could, about helping, let me see how I'd say this. Maureen Farnsworth is passionate about helping women learn to live healthy and live with great health and happiness as they age. Maureen believes that the aging process can be a powerful time of wisdom, where we harvest the wisdom that is needed for the world. Maureen is a registered yoga teacher and an occupational therapist. She is available for private lessons and group lessons at XYZ Yoga Studio. She started, I would put in the middle here, I wasn't looking down. Maureen started yoga at age 40 and quickly found that yoga became a healthy way to nurture herself and to build physical, mental, and spiritual health. She now loves to bring the strength, flexibility, and balance that she has found through yoga to others as well.
That sounds great. Where did you interject that?
Yeah, I'm just speaking off the top of my head here. We'll get the transcript of this in a couple of days. And then what I'm going to do is, let me get the transcript. I'm going to move those two sentences up a little higher for you. Yoga, I love this piece. Yoga has given her more energy and zest for living. The one piece that I don't feel good about that I just said is the piece about the aging. You know, Maureen, I'm going to be honest with you. I think of it as the second half of life. Does that resonate at all with people? Or do you really want to call it third age?
Well, is the second half of life, because it really, the audience that I really want is from 40, mm-hmm. 40 plus, and I think third age really probably is more narrowly defined once you're 60, because there's a lot that goes on in transition between 40 and through your 50s, and then 60 is really sort of the harvest. And so I do sort of see it as, I mean, I also want that audience, because I think if you're not working on that between your 40s and 50s, so many people, when they get to 60, cash in.
So, Maureen, are you willing to go with the second half of life?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. I think that'll work better for you in the long run than third age, even though, and you can weave in some of the concepts from the third age book that you love so much into your teaching, but I wouldn't use it in marketing. So if I redo that piece about who your ideal client is, say, Maureen Farnsworth is passionate about supporting women in the second half of life to make this time of life the best time of their life, to find ways to age with health, where they get healthier every year, and they're happier, and they're harvesting wisdom for their lives and the others that they love.
Yep,
that's one possibility.
Good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that needs some tweaking. I would like you to kind of, once we get the transcript on this, to take what we've written and see what is your real passion. Because you're going to need, you know, what are you really passionate about? It needs to come from your own words. But I think we've gotten some good pieces of this bio here, and we'll get the transcript, we'll get it to you, and then you tweak it to find those core words that are really your passion.
Yeah, that helps a lot to suck those best words into few sentences.
Okay.
Thanks.
So I recommend that the rest of you do this, you know, write a bio that is too long, okay, and then go through and highlight your best words, highlight the strongest words. Go back to to the unit on Durga and highlight the best words from your client testimonials, highlight the best words that the transformation your best clients have had, highlight the best words from what you've gotten, and highlight what you most long to bring and give to your best clients, and weave those into your bio. Okay? So I'm going to be posting on the forum about today's class. And I look forward to talking with you on the group mentoring call. On Monday, we'll have time for more tapping. We may have time to do one more bio feedback on Monday. And I look forward to hearing how it goes for you in writing down your limiting beliefs and working on the reframes through tapping. And I send you all so many love and blessings. I'm Laura Cornell. And namaste.